Technorama episode 506, Speaking in Computer Tongues.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
English to Japanese, English to Spanish. I need an English to COBOL dictionary.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is your show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. Man, has it been a long time since we've been on this show. Woof. Four weeks, 5 weeks, something like that. If this is your first time joining us, thank you very much. We appreciate you showing up. If you are returning, thank you for coming back. We wonder why we came back sometimes. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I feel like Rip Van Winkle, like I've been sleeping for 20 years. And we wake up and do the podcast again.
With the long beard. I think I had to wake up the computers. They were tired. I think we had a power outage or two in there somewhere. A lot has happened in the last month, and we will get into that in just a moment. Also joining us in the Binary Studio are the dynamic duo of TG Geeks.
Hi. You go away for 4 weeks, and you come back, and you bring us into the show. Yeah. Oh, my.
It's a grand reopening. Everything's on sale.
Everything's new.
It's a reflection on our good judgment. It's a reflection on our good judgment.
If you look closely, there's even new microphones in front of these two gentlemen.
Actually, I did notice that.
Yes.
And four match.
That's amazing. Yeah, the
two new mic booms.
Yeah, uh-huh. The boomless. Yeah. I noticed that.
Those are artifacts of the rewriting of Podcasting for Dummies. We have our final deadline on the 25th of May.
Cool.
For all 100% work. T. Morris and I have been hardly working at it for a couple of months.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I was hoping that Patreon money will pay for it in about 12 years.
Yeah, the book?
It might pay for one of these shock mics.
One of those mics. No.
Kudos to Rode. They went above and beyond with the freebies. And I know half of it is tease, but he's got to come get it. that's my philosophy. We are working on putting together a podcast workshop in October.
And in unrelated news,
yes,
Rode has a whole chapter in the Podcasting for Dummies book.
Not quite a whole chapter, but they do get some ink love. As do TG Geeks.
As do we.
Yes.
And I don't know if I should feel happy about that or not.
No, in a couple of places.
I don't know if I should feel happy about the fact that we're in the book.
In one you've been made an example of.
Oh, boy.
Podcasters
don't be
to avoid.
These guys.
Learn from our mistakes, kids. It's easier that way.
Exactly.
I think it's filed under don't be these guys.
Yeah.
Probably. Don't do this.
Uh-oh, I pulled a TG Geeks.
Oh, no. We've now become a swear word.
All right. So now it's going to be another 6 months before we see you guys. Okay, see you later.
Bye. Yeah. 6 months, we'll be seeing them on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
We've got Phoenix Comic Con coming up. I know this is usually the shtick on your show. What are you looking forward to seeing at Comic Con?
Ooh, boy, that's the tough
There's
one.
Lots of celebrities. Yeah.
There's a lot of celebrities.
I know Machete.
Danny Trejo.
Yeah. You have some interviews lined up?
Not yet.
Okay, we're winging it again. They're bringing the whole setup, the chairs, the mics, the signs, and we're bringing pretzels, I think.
Pretzels.
We'll have.
All we can afford after we got those mics.
Yeah, and in case we don't wind up with any interviews, we have adult beverages to imbibe.
That's right.
Yeah.
We figured we'd go there Wednesday night. We don't check in until actually Thursday, but if we drink enough, we'll crash in their room and then we'll already have to check in.
The room next to us.
Yeah, you have to give us the room next to us. We already made a mess over there. Looking forward to that. That is going to be a fun weekend.
Yep.
Craig, we'll have to get you out here for Phoenix Comic Con sometime.
I know. I would love to come out there. Actually, I got Heroes Con on the list coming up. I think it's June 17th or something like that. Father's Day weekend.
Mm. Awesome. Looking forward to hearing about that. Shall we do the history thing?
History? Oh, we forgot. Do you want to roll?
Huh? We have to roll. We have to roll because we have multiple people in this. Craig, roll.
Yep, I got.
You're not going to ask Google Home to do it for you?
Yeah. Okay, Google. Roll a 20-sided die.
Six.
I got a six also.
Hmm. What?
What is? What? Okay, Google. Roll a 20-sided die.
Can you add up? You got a 12.
18.
Okay.
Or is that 81?
Keith, I think you and I need to roll for 81. Tie.
It's 81.
An 81. That's awesome. There's no, yeah, there's no underline on it.
15.
8. Okay, so it's...
81. I'm first.
Me.
Are we going from lowest to highest or highest to lowest?
Highest to lowest. Sorry.
I got 18.
18. Okay. Let's got 15. What'd you get, Craig?
Craig got a 12.
A 12.
I got 12.
I got an 8.
Oh, Lord. Oh, that's a weird...
Oh, that makes it easy. Boom, 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 boom.
We'll okay.
Just,
okay.
Okay. I'm,
all right.
I'm,
wait a minute.
Need, okay. We need to forget that he's there and that he's actually there.
Craig,
say,
go,
wait a minute.
Go after Keith. That's all you need to do.
After Keith. Okay, got
it's,
it.
It's like the fifth grade play. Just follow.
Yeah, I like how he goes, bump, 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 bump. I'm like, huh?
I'm going from my perspective.
Yeah. Got it. All
right. You're sitting in this empty chair here.
Where's the music? Here we go.
Yeah. I need a cardboard cut out of me.
On this day in history for May 24th, 2017, this is the 144th day. That's 12 squared. In the Gregorian calendar, squirrel, there are 221 days remaining in 2017.
And it was on this date in 1595 that the nomenclature of Leiden University Library appears, the first printed catalog of an institutional library.
You think that's where we get the name nomenclature?
Possibly.
Could be, yeah.
That's for the library.
I believe it's your turn, Keith.
Oh, it was also this date in 1607 that 100 English settlers disembarked in Jamestown. The first English colony in America.
Also on this date, in May 24th, 1830, Mary Had a Little Lamb by Siri.
Sing me a song. Lamb.
Siri. By Sarah Joseph Hale as published. What is published?
Smooth.
Something like,
is published.
Yeah.
Also is, today in 1844, Samuel Morse sends the message, "What hath God wrought?" A biblical quotation from Numbers 23:23. That's the same number. I don't know why they say numbers. From the old Supreme Court chamber in the United States Capitol to his assistant, Alfred Vail, in Baltimore, Maryland, to inaugurate the first telegraph line.
Yay!
And it was 87 years ago today. I'm sorry, I just walked right over you there, Craig. What were you going to say?
I'm fine. Go,
nothing
go
useful.
Nothing useful? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was 87 years ago today that Amy Johnson lands in Darwin, Northern Territory, becoming the first woman to fly solo from England to Australia. She left on May 5th for the 11,000-mile flight.
How many kilometers would that be?
I have no idea. Ask Siri.
Ask Siri. Yeah, she wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb. On May 24th, 1935, the first night game of Major League Baseball.
Baseball.
In Major League Baseball history is played in Cincinnati, Ohio with the Cincinnati...
I thought it was the Cincinnati Indians.
I thought it was the Cleveland Reds. Cleveland Reds or Cincinnati Reds.
Wow.
Beating the Philadelphia Phillies.
Pirates. The Philly Pirates.
The Philly Pirates. 2-1 Crossley Field.
It's the Philadelphia Pirates and the Pittsburgh Phillies. Everybody knows
Everybody's
that.
Everybody's going to ask us not to come back.
We're never coming back when it comes to sports.
Yeah, right. Igor Sikorsky performs the first unsuccessful single-rotor helicopter.
Unsuccessful? What?
What'd I say?
You said unsuccessful.
Oh, I thought...
Warning!
In other words, he died. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. I'm sure there were plenty unsuccessful ones before the first one.
It completely blew away my Igor comment, but okay, we'll get it.
Yeah. Anyway, performs the first successful single rotor helicopter flight on this date in 1940.
Don't most helicopters have two rotors?
Generally.
Single rotor would just spin single. Around in a circle.
Yeah, you need that other one to be the stabilizer.
That's why it was unsuccessful.
So Craig got it right. This is a typo.
Yeah.
Jane, get me off this crazy thing.
Yeah, take that, Chuck.
It was 59 years ago today. The United Press International is formed through a merger of the United Press and the International News Service.
Wow, that's amazing.
And also today, 1962, American astronaut Scott Carpenter orbits the Earth three times in the Aurora 7 space capsule as part of Project Mercury.
Space capsule.
All right, you're next on the birthdays there, Keith.
Are we doing birthdays now?
Okay. Yeah.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to English physician, physicist, astronomer, and natural philosopher William Gerbert.
Gilbert.
Yes. Born on this date in 1544.
And born May 24th, 1686, German-Polish physicist and engineer Daniel Gabriel Fahrenheit.
What did he do?
Nailed it.
What did he do?
Came up with some crazy temperature.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Celsius.
American broadcasting businessman, magazine, and newspaper publisher Samuel Irving Newhouse Sr.
That's a mouthful. Born on this date in
1895.
And Canadian-American comedian, actor, writer, director, activist, and musician, Tommy Chong.
Everything.
Tommy Chong. Born on this date in 1938, man.
Dave's not here.
And I would have to get this one. American singer, songwriter, musician, author, and artist, Bob Dylan is 76 today.
You have to read it in that line.
American singer, songwriter, musician, author, and artist, Bob Dylan is 76 today.
Right. Dr. Gary Burkhoff was born on this date in 1943.
Yeah, that was mine.
Oh, you missed.
I even practiced.
Oh, so you get Patti LaBelle now.
He practiced it.
Oh, that's even better.
He was warming up before the show started.
I was ready. All right.
He put on American, his tiny whiteies for that one.
American singer, songwriter, actress Patti LaBelle is 73 today.
An actress and businesswoman, Priscilla Presley, was born on this date in 1945.
Also born on this date in 1974, German biochemist and MediaWiki developer Magnus Mansky, or Mansk.
Hurry before the band runs away.
If you want to get on Technorama birthday calendar, visit our wiki.
Yay! At the link below. And that's the way it was on this date in history for May 24th, 2017. Play it out, band.
Hey, when you do that, I think of the big foot coming down.
I think we all did.
Hang on. Yeah. We got a noise for that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nice squish.
All right, we have some good news. Well, it's good news to somebody.
Good news, everyone!
A man finds the StarCraft source code and returns it to Blizzard and gets a free trip to BlizzCon. Wow. Now, we normally don't do the gaming news because neither Craig nor I are big gamers, but you don't have to be much of a big gamer to know who Blizzard is.
Right? Or StarCraft.
Right. Well, last month, Reddit user Chemist49...
That's his handle.
Chemist.
I know StarCraft. Oh. But I don't know Blizzard.
World of Warcraft.
Okay.
Wow. That's what they call it. That's what the kids call it. Wow.
Oh.
Made a truly unlikely find, a Gold Master source code disc of the original StarCraft from 1998. At first, he didn't know what to do with it.
I want to know where he found it.
Put it in your CD drive. Ultimately, he sent it to Blizzard, and why was this being... Well, I guess at the time, that's about all the only way you could distribute things like this.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. At first he didn't know what to do with it. Ultimately, he sent it to Blizzard, who was very grateful to have it back. Chemist 49 first came across the disc in a box of Blizzard stuff he purchased on eBay.
Mm.
That sounds like a worthwhile purchase.
Yeah.
He was shocked at what he saw. A CDR
shocked, I say.
That read, StarCraft Gold Master Source Code. Source code is a game's underlying programming before it's ever compiled and released. It's often proprietary and rarely made available to the public for fear of revealing company secrets.
Wow.
Well, I think 20 years later, you ought to be safe.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
I got the source code to Pong. When Chemist Pong. 49... So
what is it like? 49 lines of code?
It was all assembly. Andy, hook up an oscilloscope.
Yeah, then he's really asking himself, what do I do with this?
Some people asked him to rip its contents and make them freely available, while others derided him as scummy for not doing so if he planned to try and make money off it.
What?
There's a correction in here. Clarified this sentence to more accurately reflect the quoted statement, apologies for the error. He wrote that the decision over what to do with it was driving him crazy. After days of deliberation, Chemist 49 said he heard from Blizzard directly. He said the publisher's legal team had asked him to return the disc because it contained intellectual property and trade secrets. I can see it from a legal standpoint. He could have gotten in trouble for this. He sought legal advice about what to do, but ultimately decided to err on the side of caution and sent it to Blizzard. For his troubles, he received a copy of Overwatch and $250 in Blizzard store credit. Cool, he figured that was the end of it.
But no!
It was...
Legal contacted him once again.
But in an elated post last night, Chemist 49 said that he received a phone call from Blizzard employee. He asked me if I had ever heard of BlizzCon, wrote Chemist 49. I said, well, yeah, of course, but it's impossible for me to go. I live on the East Coast and the badges are always sold out before you can refresh the frickin' page.
I don't see that in there.
He said, well, the reason you are calling is to invite you to BlizzCon, all expenses paid, and we would love to take you out for drinks.
Hey. Oh, that'd be really nice, but I'm only 13.
And I quit drinking.
Is that what it did to my two dads? Blizzard also mailed him a giant box full of Overwatch and Diablo PC peripherals and paraphernalia. I thought you were supposed to wear paraphernalia to protect... Never mind.
No, keep going.
Speaking to Kotaku by email, Blizzard confirmed Chemist49's story, saying the company wanted to show an appropriate level of appreciation to the player for doing the right thing, not just from Blizzard, but on behalf of the large inactive community of players who still enjoy StarCraft today.
The large inactive community?
Oh, it might be available on...
Is that like raising things?
Nintendo.
Community.
See, kids, doing the right thing pays off.
Yeah. So in 1998, if he had tried to...
You know what? I wonder, I'm just hypothetically speaking here, what could legal really do? I mean, he bought the disc legally. Who says it was stolen? It just got lost in stuff. Who knows where it came from?
Well, it's the person that he bought it from. We have no idea where... I mean, it still could have been stolen at some point, and he just bought stolen property. And he
could have been a former Blizzard employee that forgot to take it out of his desk when he left.
Or something.
Yeah, I'm not saying I wouldn't actually do that, because this reminds me of one time
at Bandcamp.
I bought a Heineken beer and I found a piece of glass in the bottle. So I taped the piece of glass to a postcard and I called at the time their importer, which was in New York. I think it's a different setup now. But anyway, I called them and I said, hey, look, I found a piece of glass in your Heineken bottle. I really like the Heineken product. I did at the time. Times have changed.
But not anymore.
I said, I like Heineken. I didn't, I just want to return it to you and see how I can check it out. So anyway, they were, someone called me back. Hey, if you're talking to an attorney, we can't go any further. I was like, no, not really. I just wanted to turn it over. And I thought maybe they'll give me some beer or something. I was just thinking that maybe they'll... they did, and it was a great weekend. I had a great time, and I'm glad I turned over that.
There you go.
Piece of glass. Now, if I had swallowed it.
Yeah, then you'd be talking to an attorney.
Yeah, that'd be different. But I didn't, and I turned it over, and it wasn't a big deal. And, I wasn't going to, chase them down. So,
no chasing.
No.
Shout out to the people. We'll give a shout out to the people in the chat room just a little bit. We've got a couple more news stories to go, though.
Chats.
Okay, either one of you want to talk about the alien megastructure?
Alien megastructure. Oh, my word. It's certainly almost not aliens. But once again, Tabby's star is acting hella weird. The star first became our planetary obsession back in the fall of 2015 when astronomer Jason Wright suggested its weird flickering behavior might be the result of an alien megastructure. Thank you. And it's once again flickering. But unlike previous stellar glitches, astronomers are now prepared to study it in the act. The world was first alerted to the mysterious change in the star's light output in a tweet from Wright this morning, where Jason Wright tweeted, alert, Tias Boyajan's star is dipping. This is not a drill. Astro tweeps. That's what it says. Tweeps. It really does. On telescopes in the next 48 hours, spectra, please.
Well, let's go visit.
Thank you. We're there away.
They said they wanted to catch it in action.
Yeah, basically.
Would that be Wasn't that on Star Trek Voyager?
Yeah. Because we just love to observe things. I mean, that. Yeah, that's what we call it these days.
I didn't expect that on the webcam.
Yeah. Yeah. And as reported by Popular Science, Fairborn Observatory in Arizona confirmed that the star's light output has recently dimmed by approximately 3%. Mm. As with previous dimming events, this can't be easily explained by an ordinary stellar behavior. Past explanations of the star's fits and starts include a swarm of cometary fragments and a recently annihilated planet. Where's the doomsday machine? I'm sure it's there somewhere.
The doomsday machine?
I'm just saying.
Do I have the doomsday machine?
Exterminate!
Okay,
well, close enough.
Daleks were responsible. Yeah. And then there, in parentheses, it does say, full disclosure, my brother, an astronomer at Columbia University, came up with that one. I'm disappointed now. And every true believer's favorite, an alien megastructure. Aliens!
Are you using air quotes?
Yes. I'm kind of like, what kind of megastructure, like a Dyson sphere?
Well, the Dyson sphere would be all-encompassing. You wouldn't see the star.
Well, unless it's being constructed. It's not finished.
Sure.
It's a Dyson pickup
fan. They're still building it.
They're still working on the Dyson fan.
Yeah.
Dyson working on its vacuum cleaner to clean up.
They're working on the Dyson budget to finish it.
It's Ring World.
It's a Ring World, and it just, like Saturn's rings, it's probably just...
And that's what's causing it.
Right. We got to figure it out. We're done. Yeah, that's good.
Figured it out.
Real science.
Did we figure that out?
Oh, man.
Hey, whenever I hear that sound you just played, I think of Ren and Stimpy.
This?
Space madness. Oh, my precious ice cream bar.
Craig, I don't know about you, but I have finished watching the new season of Mr. Science Theater 3000. And there is one point in the Christmas that almost wasn't, where the bad guy is holding a sailboat, and they actually mention Bodie McBoatface.
Oh, no!
I just about lost it right there.
I might have to look out for that. That's funny.
It's priceless. They have certainly updated their repertoire of comments in there.
I'm going to tell you, I'm really enjoying the new season of MST3K. I think they stepped up their game. I think it's really good.
They did.
I'm looking forward to it. And of course, you know, they're doing the live tour.
Yes. I bought tickets yesterday.
Oh, yeah. We haven't. Yeah. I'm really interested in going, but we.
Jack and Tiffany are going as well.
All our money is right now accounted for other things.
Oh, yeah.
It's not till July. Plenty of time to save.
Oh, Lord.
No, I wanted to go.
We have a cruise in August. So.
Yeah, we got a cruise we have to save money for.
Start a Kickstarter fund.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
No, not Kickstarter.
No. Indiegogo.
Indiegogo.
Well, I got pre-advanced access to buy tickets, and I was going to, but the closest show around here is in Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, I was like, are you serious? I mean, I'm not going to drive 4 hours to go watch it.
Well, that's about what I would have had to do if I still lived in Wisconsin to get to Chicago. So,
yeah,
the price you pay for living in a little town.
Yep.
Yeah, there was nothing around. I was like, I might have to let the window go. It'd been awesome to get it. But
speaking of stories, Craig, the next one's yours. You wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, a little bit. Tech companies are trying to crush mom and pop repair shops. Really? Have you ever wondered why nobody other than Apple has officially licensed a fixture iPhone? It's because the device titan has locked out everybody else from accessing.
Access.
I don't know why I'm having trouble
access
saying that
denied.
One.
Access denied.
Access denied.
I was waiting for Keith to kick in.
There we go. I was on the wrong page.
This pushes small electronic shops to buy or use or counterfeit parts of dubious quality. But back in January, 5 states introduced a right to repair bill that would force Apple and other device manufacturers to give access to proper instructions and components. Surprisingly, hallelujah. Tech giants have been lobbying to kill those bills in at least 2 of those states. So according to a report by New York's Joint Commission on Public Ethics, the companies that lobbied against the state's bill include Apple, Verizon, Toyota, okay, Lexmark, I'm sorry, I didn't expect to see Toyota in there. Lexmark, Caterpillar, Asurion. I'm not sure who those are.
And Medtronic.
And Medtronic.
Interesting.
As well as
medical devices.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I can understand wanting to have the clamps on that. Caterpillar, clamps. I don't know that there's...
I saw what you did there.
Caterpillar, I'm not so sure that a mom and pop shop is, you know, servicing giant backhoes and...
Well, I did a repair on my Toyota, and
you
I was able to do it myself.
You broke the law. We have a criminal in our room.
But, you know, hey, I got news for you. Toyota sent me the part.
I'll have you know that I made the mistake. We have a Subaru, and we've had this is our third Subaru. I made the mistake of not wanting to drive all the way across town to get a oil change. So I went to one of those cheap places, and he said, "Oh, you need a new filter." So we put a new filter in, and we were getting ready to go out of town, going to Albuquerque, to Santa Fe. And
on the way back,
oh boy, we got the check engine light and of that. Took it in, and it was a O2 sensor was fouled, so we replaced that. $700.
Joe.
Yeah, that was the most expensive oil change ever.
Yeah, well,
you didn't get any dinner either, did you?
It gets better. So then I was on a trip to LA for business, and the light comes on again.
Oh.
O2 sensor again.
Mm.
So we took it back, and they did some more investigation. The guy had broken the box where the filter was. So it not only had to replace the O2 sensor again, but the box for the filter and the filter box, and that was $350. So $1,500 later for the oil change of not wanting to drive across town, and I saved $3 on
lesson
it.
Learned.
Yep.
Uncle Owen, don't this R2 unit has a bad O2 sensor.
Yeah. But yeah, it was, not anything for the Subaru.
So. There's something to be said about taking it to a certified dealer, a certified repair place.
Yep.
All right. We are going to take a quick break.
Wait a minute. I still have something to say to this.
Go ahead.
I want, regarding this article, you know, I think this is, I got an iPhone and I got a Mac, but I'm going to tell you the iPhone kind of, it's that kind of thing that, not being able to fix your own stuff, and I'm not saying I can fix any cell phone. I'm just saying the audacity that I buy something like an iPhone and I can't do what I want to with it all the time. You know, that. What are you buying? Are you buying it or are you just renting it?
You're renting
at that point. I mean, it's mine. I should be able to open links or do whatever I want to with it, or even
to root the code.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's a quick fix.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's mine, right? If I want to set it on fire, I should be able to do that too.
Yeah, you should.
But I'm saying is not being able to repair your own stuff.
And set it on fire.
Yeah, do it now. I want to see you do it.
But there's always a quick fix for that.
Anyway,
magic.
So this kind of thing sticks in my craw a little bit because I think about people that do want to have shops to repair this kind of stuff, and that's fine because cell phones are small and tight. It's hard to fix. But what I'm saying is, if I buy a device, it should be mine, and that's as far as Apple should have something to say about it, or whoever I buy the device from.
They shouldn't. Yeah. After it's out of warranty, anyway, you should be able to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I understand if it's under warranty, they don't want you messing with it. You know, they should be doing the work on it, but if after warranty, yeah.
Take it anywhere you want.
I'm going to take the other side.
To the darn thing, you know?
I'm going
to
take after warranty, that's fine, but I'm going to take it from a support standpoint. If every Tom, Dick, and Harry is doing different things with their device, they're selling a stable ecosystem. They're selling, that is one piece of an overall experience. Right. And if you start tweaking it, the experience is shot, and suddenly your apps don't work, and you're blaming Apple because you jacked it up. You know, that's something different. You can't call them up and say, hey, genius bar. What's going on?
Fix
and
the code
say,
on this thing because I rooted it.
You dorked up your phone. It's yours, man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, okay, you drop your phone and break your screen. So you got to take it to Apple or can you take it to a repair shop?
There are shops that will allow you to fix the screen.
Loosening up on that, some of that.
But right I guess my main thing is after the warranty period, you know, it's hard to fix these things. And I don't know. It's just a... it's a whole mess. And I think if you buy the device and you're willing to break void the warranty,
have you cracked a phone screen, Craig?
I have.
No, I have not.
How long did you go around with a cracked phone screen?
About a year.
Wow. Was it a little crack or was it a big spider thing?
Oh, it was just here in the corner.
I had a small one too, and I right lived with it until here. I got rid of it.
I see people with huge cracks all the time still using their phone.
And I figure when they're rolling their finger over the screen, they're got to be bleeding on that thing.
Oh, yeah.
If mine was spider webbed like that,
but I got to scroll through Facebook, it hurts just a little.
I don't have any
calluses now.
My fingerprints are gone.
And this red now, it's permanent. Oh, that's my blood.
Yeah. You've become part of the phone.
Are we breaking now?
It has your DNA. Are we taking a break now, Craig?
Do we have time?
There we go.
Fine. Take your break. Whatever.
All right. But we're doing this one special. We're not muting.
We're not muting.
We all know the words.
We're not muting.
Say it with me. Ben and Keith started this.
Oh, it's our fault now.
Technorama, the podcast for geeks. Because geeks are better than cool.
You don't hear someone say, get away from me, you cool person.
Who's going to have their 65-inch home theater system installed by the cool squad?
Not me, that's for sure.
How much current cred do you have?
Not enough to care about.
Think you'll find any canned unicorn meat at thinkcool.com? It's just a park domain name.
They don't even have roadkill in a paper cup.
That's why you need to start listening to Technorama. Because that's what geeks do.
What? That's what cool people do? I don't think so.
Drama before you turn cool.
Before you turn cool.
It's your own bumper, and you got it wrong. I don't have the script. I don't listen to this thing.
Oh.
I'm Seth Shostak, senior astronomer at the SETI Institute. Now back to Chuck and Craig.
I love the way it says SETI. It sounds like we're confusing it with some other word.
SETI.
Not the Yeti Institute.
It's the SETI Alpha 3.
I was thinking like a little T-set.
A Yeti Institute. The yearn for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Yearning for extraterrestrial.
I was thinking more of the Abominable Snowman, but if that's where you wanted to go, sure, why not?
The yearn. The yearn of extraterrestrial intelligence.
Any intelligence, where art thou?
The yearn of extraterrestrial. Oh, boy. That's a UTI.
Yesterday's
la, 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 la.
Yesterday's extraterrestrial intelligence.
What?
What?
Okay, speaking of Hex and Strange Stories, we have one that involves, well, mice and 3D printers.
Oh, dear.
What good could come out of that? Keith, do me the honors.
Oh, dear.
It's all yours.
All mine. Scientists all over the globe are working on the best way to 3D print different human organs for transplant.
Which is great.
Yeah. A team from Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine and McCormick School of Engineering. Medicine and engineering? Yeah, there you go. For instance, let's start that again.
A team from
Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine and McCormick School of Engineering, for instance, are developing 3D printed ovaries. I thought that was the appetizers. Horse ovaries.
Horse doovers.
Yes. Horse doovers. Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's a
horse
doovers.
Ovaries. Yum.
3D printed hors d'oeuvres.
3D printed hors d'oeuvres. There we go. The 3D printed ovaries that can boost hormone production and restore fertility. The researchers have even tested their creation on mice and men.
Of mice and men.
Which successfully.
Mice-en?
Of mice, mice and men.
Mice and men.
Of mice and men.
Like another new show on Discovery.
Yeah. Raisin things.
It's never going away.
Never. Which successfully ovulated and eventually produced healthy pups. And that's the term for juvenile mice.
Juvenile mice.
Here we go. After their real ovaries were replaced. It even triggered lactation.
Interesting.
So the mothers were able to nurse their young. That is fascinating.
But what material did they use?
3D printed. Well, let's find out.
You know, it just reeks of IT when you have 3D printers and mice.
I know.
It does. What the, hey, and a baby keyboard. Hey,
hey, there we go.
It sounds like the plot for a weird science reboot. Yeah. They 3D print their own lady now.
Science!
Well, 3D testicles are coming right up.
Yep, there we go. While their creation is far from being the first biosynthetic ovary, it's the first one made of 3D printed gelatin scaffolding. And that was the what you saw earlier that Donna had put up there. They simply loaded the structures with immature egg cells before implanting them in their test subjects. Previous efforts used gel substances to encapsulate egg cells, but they were unfortunately prone to breaking down and collapsing upon themselves. The scaffolding provided a much more stable environment that gave the follicles a higher rate of survival. I have to move this mic so I can see.
Yeah, I'll scoot that up a little bit, too.
There we go.
I wonder how they got them to ovulate just...
Yeah.
Because mice usually have a litter, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so it didn't matter if they had one egg or 15 eggs.
Yeah, it says, we found a gelatin...
Or Baker's dozen.
...allows it to self-supporting, not collapse, and lead to building multiple layers. No one's been able to print gelatin with such well-defined and self-supported geometry.
Interesting.
That's about all it says. It could be.
But imagine what this will do for humans. You know that have fertility issues.
Oh yeah,
and that's great news.
That's great news.
Good news, everyone.
We are just on the verge of becoming Cybermen.
I don't know if I'd call this cybernetics because there's no electronics involved. It's just kind of like
I'm making a joke. Thank you for stomping on it.
Go with it, Chuck. For crying out loud.
It went right by me,
Cybermen.
Now we'll do a shout out to the chat room. Who have we got on the chat? We have Scott Tyler, John Miller Jr., Clinton Elford, Tommy P. Clifford joined. Tommy from Appleton. Donna's brother Matt was in here for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And wait, I saw Eric Alexander was in here earlier as well.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, Eric.
I don't know if he still is or not, but we will see.
I see my nephew joined.
Which one's your nephew?
Noah.
Noah was in here for a while?
Noah Stepp, yep. I don't know if he's still there.
Well, it looks like it's interesting. I click watching now and two names come up, even though a little eyeball up in the corner says four.
I'm not sure how this works.
Count.
How does Facebook work?
No one wants to know.
Exactly.
Hey, if you knew that, you'd
have
a different
job. That implies that Facebook works.
Well, true.
Oh. All right, PBS is streaming every episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on... Twitch. That's an odd place to put it, don't you think?
Well, I'm not familiar with Twitch.
Twitch is usually the live streaming game network.
Oh.
Yeah, he's playing World of Warcraft now.
Or StarCraft.
StarCraft.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is something I recall as feeling rather a specific set of memories. Wikipedia claims that there was a whole cast of characters, Mr. McFeely, Pilot Ito, Officer Clemens, and a few dozen puppets, but I don't remember them all. Oh, come on, Lady Elaine.
Lady Elaine. Couch.
Nope, there's a live video.
Just pretend that we're sitting together.
Yeah, it's actually the video.
Yeah, but I don't want to get YouTube all over my case again.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
They did that Mr. when we Rogers. Tried to sneak in a Monty Python.
That's just what you need. Get sued over Mr. Rogers.
Our former pastor at our old church was good friends with Fred Rogers. Yeah. He used to stick him into the sermon all the time. Yeah, anyway.
Well, he was a Methodist minister.
When the passage of time, the show's details have collapsed into a singular sense of comfort and safety, the sensation of laying on the carpet in front of grandma's wood panel TV with the big clicky knobs, or at least that's what I think it looked like. Fred Rogers instilled the value of imagination and conscientiousness into American children for nearly 40 years. Wow. That was a good long run. I hope our show runs that long. We're 25% of the way there.
Yeah, we're there almost. Yeah,
over the next 18 days, PBS is streaming every single episode of his landmark show over Twitch without commercials as part of a fundraiser. Aha! There is a noble effort in this after all. Nostalgia can be good in limited doses, so feel free to revisit the familiar place filled with ragtime and the trolley whenever you want to.
So you're going to be doing the show when you're 92?
Maybe.
Welcome to Technorama.
Don't have to work on that character voice anymore.
Geek
Remember when we used to
remember when we used to podcast? Technorama remembers.
Remember when?
Get off my damn kids, you front lawn.
Hey, I don't know about y'all, but I love Mr. Rogers, and I think he's like a genuine person. And I get if I ever find out there's any bad side to him.
No, there isn't.
I'm just going to give up.
There really isn't. I think he's one of the few very genuine, I don't want to call him a celebrity, but personalities. I mean, what you saw was pretty much it.
Yeah. It was what you got.
Here we go. Had to find it.
It's a beautiful day on the internet. A beautiful day where the geeks all met. Would you be one? Could you be one? Hello, neighbor. Welcome to my internet. I'm so glad you could join me today. Today we're going to the special land of make-believe called the Podosphere. That's right. That's where the very special group of people called podcasters live. It's a magical, whimsical world where anything can happen, and the podcasters think it's real. Oh, look. Here comes the magic trolley. Hello, trolley. Our first stop is a very special podcast called Technorama, the land of two kings, and they both think they are the important one. Are you ready, trolley? Let's go see King Chuck and King Craig.
And we must be the land of the two queens.
This is a perfect fit.
Explicit rating on this one.
Well said.
I need a tissue to wipe my eyes out.
There's a red gel up there. I don't need blowing out the camera.
I don't need red gel on this one.
Oh my God. I'm going to laugh about that for a week.
Yeah, that's right in the annals of good stuff. I think my mouse just died. Well, this will be fun, trying to work without a mouse.
Oh, dear.
Oh, there it goes. It's back. It's back. All right. Well, we cool off
that.
That's
why we do this show, man. That's why we do this show.
The land of two queens.
Oh, boy.
Thank you to our patrons for putting up with all this insanity.
Yeah, you won't have any papers after tonight.
Do what you're paying for.
This is awesome.
Thank you. We apologize.
Kyle Nishioka, Mike Will, Steve Therrien, Saturday Morning Media,
Steve
a.k.a.
Theremin.
Saturday Morning Media, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnod, Nick St. Gabriel, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman. You know, we could almost make a rhyme out of this. It's Amy Bowen and Ab Braverman and Leon and John Noble and Brad P. from NJ.
John Noble?
John Noble?
Yes.
Wow.
The John Noble.
Walter.
The John Noble?
Walter from Fringe.
No, not the John Noble.
Oh, dang it.
I know. I mean,
I don't have more care money anymore.
There was a birthday on the history thing for Michael Jackson. The Archbishop.
Oh.
I didn't know he had a church.
Yeah. Church of Michael.
Thank you very much. Bring your own monkey.
Yeah.
If you want to be on the Patreon list, join us at patreon.com/technoramapodcast. We appreciate everyone who contributes and donates. They get special content after this show is recorded, but before it's released before this one. So it's a weird TARDIS thing. All right, we're going to close out the show. We're going to close out the show with a couple of topics that I got involved with recently. I think we mentioned on the last show or 504, 505, that I had bought an Amazon Echo.
Yeah.
I think it was mentioned. And we talked about that and how we can integrate with our platform at work. But I've also been buying lots of other gadgets and looking specifically for things that work with Alexa. And Craig has a Google Home. And has been looking into doing automation about that. So we want to kind of blend this together. I bought about a week ago, week and a half, some Philips Hue lights. Now, they are not the cheapest things because I bought a 6-foot strip. And then I bought a couple of extensions and I've got them in various places in the living room. But I can walk up to the Alexa and say, Alexa, turn the living room green. And it gets this nice indirect green.
I'm wondering if it, yeah, I'm trying to look through the crack of the,
from under the door there.
Yeah. that or the Martians have landed.
That's what I was going to say. It's just an alien abduction. but I've got it hooked up to, I bought some TP-Lynx, which is an electronic outlet.
It spits out toilet paper as you need it. You just tell Alexa.
It looks like one of those international power adapters, but there's intelligence inside of it that hooks up to Wi-Fi. So once you get your app, and then I can say, Alexa, turn the gazebo lights on. And then there's an outlet out there that will do it. Hopefully she's not listening to me, or I'm going to have lights on all over the house. The crazy thing is, you get a little confused when you've got manual way to turn on an outlet. You've got an app on your phone to turn on outlet. You can turn it on with IFTTT recipes. So if something happens on, say, Twitter, lights go on. Or the Alexa integration. There's different ways you can hook this stuff up, and sometimes I forget how I hooked it up. Well, we had some guests over. Scott Tyler and his wife were staying with us for a few nights, and they were sleeping on an air mattress in our living room, and all of a sudden, about 4 in the morning, my Philips Hue lights start going into rainbow mode. They do this color wheel thing of purple and red.
A unicorn was vomiting in your house.
Yeah, pretty much. In the morning. And Tyler politely asked me, can you turn the lights off? So I told Alexa, I said, Alexa, turn off the living room. And they went off. Well, I forgot to disable the IFTTT recipe, where if somebody followed me on Twitter, I'd get this little rainbow party going.
You need the Alleluia chorus to go along with it when that happens, you know?
Yeah.
Someone likes me.
So, be careful when you hook these smart home things up. It's a little crazy. No, it also talks to existing devices that I had, like the Nest thermostat. What else? We've got a Kivo lock, although I haven't had the greatest luck with that from a remote standpoint. I should be able to tell the Alexa to lock the garage door, and it'll go. Most of this stuff will travel via IP. Someone has to go through the phone to do this. But it's pretty cool, and I really, really wish I could address the device as Jarvis, because I feel like Tony Stark walking around the house.
And yeah.
As I walk past the TV with the laundry basket, I can still turn it on just by saying, Echo, turn on the Apple TV, and it'll go boom, 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 and things will be turned on. So when I drop off the laundry basket, I come back and the TV's ready to go. So it's been a lot of fun. I can also integrate from an API standpoint. It's been a lot of fun. I wrote a Chuck Norris quote, so I say, you know, Echo, tell Chuck give me a quote. And some of them are not appropriate. Some of them are very nerdy. Chuck Norris's OSI model only has one layer, physical. But when you hear Alexa say it, it kind of loses some of the impact. What was the one we heard tonight?
We heard a few. I can't
remember. The salesman.
The salesman, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the sales programming exercise for the traveling salesman. Supposed to be one of those unsolvable programming problems of how he gets from city to city. Anyway, it said Chuck Norris found his solution. He said Chuck Norris breaks the salesman into multiple pieces.
I don't get it.
That's because you never had to write the program.
Right.
Craig, what have you learned? Because we've got two different sides of things. We've got the Amazon Echo. And I'm really sorry I didn't come up with the Saturday Night Live sketch for Technorama on the Amazon Echo Silver. Have you seen that one? I posted it to Facebook.
No, I don't know about that.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live did one where it's for the elderly people.
Hey, Viagra.
They address them as the greatest. Yeah, they're allowed to address it in anything closely resembling the word Alexa. Yeah.
Hey, Excella.
Hey, Allegra. What are the kids across the street doing? The kids are playing.
Clap.
What are they doing? They're playing. Who is? The kids. I don't know about that. they kept doubting whatever. What did Satchmo bat in last night's game? Satchel Paige is dead. Who dead? Satchel Paige. What about him? He's dead. I don't know about that. I wish I thought of that because it was just brilliant. But anyway, back to the Google Home.
Home automation.
I bought a Google Home because I'm invested in the Google experience, and I just want to give them all of my data for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, So I subscribe to Google Music, and I can use it to listen to that pretty easily. I can pretty much ask it whatever song I'm interested in or artist.
Isn't that nice? You're in the middle of a song, and you say, hey, what is this song? And you not only get the song, you get the artist, you get the composer, you get the album.
It's crap. Yeah, it's so much better than Shazam.
Shazam used to be good, and now it's crap. I mean, it used to give you far more information.
Well, you get the lyrics now. You didn't used to get the lyrics. No, now you can get the lyrics.
But it won't tell you when it was released.
It's telling you nothing.
Right. That's usually what you want to know.
Yeah, exactly. I'll say, if you're listening to the song, you pretty much have the lyrics, right?
Yeah. Well, not unless close to the lyrics sometimes.
There's a bad
not your lyrics. Right. Your lyrics.
Well, I'm getting, if it's Blinded by the Light. No, I need the lyrics. Seriously. Otherwise, anyway, I'm thinking I'm listening about a feminine hygiene product.
Yeah.
Well, I was interested in programming for it because Chuck had talked about doing the Chuck Norris app. And I was like, you know what? I haven't really investigated doing something with the Google Home Nest going, what do I want to do? I don't know. I may end up doing the same thing, but I watched Chuck did with the Chuck Norris thing, but I did watch some videos on programming for it. It doesn't seem difficult at all. And what I like is when you have your own app or what do they call it? Basically you write an app for it. When you talk to it, it does change the voice instead of being the female voice. It can change to a guy and it sounds so that way you can tell you're talking with this now. So if I say I want to talk to Domino's and I want to order a pizza, you'll hear the voice change. You can start ordering pizza and I can order it right from the Google Home. Wow. Same thing with like the beer guide. Here, I'll demonstrate it real quick. Okay, Google, talk to beer guide.
Sure, here's beer guide. Hello, I'm a beer guide. Ask me about any beer.
For example, I wouldn't stop it, but you get the idea. And it's kind of neat. So this device is starting to really pay off because they're starting to introduce some other features that are cool. Like I'll be able to make phone calls anywhere to Canada and the U.S. I think later this year. They're enabling Bluetooth, so I can just use it as a Bluetooth speaker. Right now, you can use it as a Chromecast device.
Wait. You can use it as a speaker or it can broadcast to a speaker?
No, it will be a Bluetooth speaker.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And it's a Chromecast audio device right now. So they're enabling Bluetooth later, but right now I can pull up Google Music on my phone and say, cast it to the, I call it Friday, my device, and it'll start playing. So it's a Chromecast device. It will be also a Bluetooth speaker. And there's a lot of other features that are coming. And, the other cool thing that they introduced this week is if I have a Chromecast like I do on my television and I say, show me my schedule or what's the weather or show me the weather, it'll show it on your TV through the Chromecast.
Wow.
Which is really cool. So I'm loving the device and it's really starting to mature. I just want to see some more interactions with it.
We're just around the corner from Skynet here. We were talking about Google yesterday and how intelligent.
Yeah, even Google if you're just searches. Doing a Google search.
Oh my god!
I mean, the search engine, the algorithms that are in play.
It's amazing. It will practically finish your sentence before you finish typing it and what you're looking for. I mean,
that's right.
It's amazing.
I mean, Google AI. Google is about to become Skynet. There's no question.
Yep. It will. Yeah.
Really close.
Really close.
I will say something else about the Google Home. It's got a good sense of humor. There's some games you can play with it. It's kind of fun. You heard me roll the 20-sided die earlier. Mm-hmm. Earlier, my dog was in the office and I was playing with my dog on the floor and I thought it'd be fun to make the Google Home bark. And it did. I said, what does a dog sound like? And it started barking. And then I said, what does a badger sound like? And it went, it made some noise. And I said, what does a giraffe sound like? And you hear,
shaking on some leaves.
So there's some fun side to it. And it's pretty cool. Actually, earlier I said, who's on first? And it said, exactly.
Oh, geez.
I was hoping I could draw it out, but you get it. Anyway, so it's a lot of fun. And I think the home automation will get better with all this stuff. Like Chuck was talking about with the lights and everything. I can see the confusion when you start going, there's five ways for me to change the thermostat.
I was just wondering, I mean, it sounds like you're pretty much using it for more entertainment purposes. Are you doing anything really practical with it?
I ask it some stuff here and there, but most of it, you're right. Most of it is for entertainment. Like when I'm sitting here working, I'll have it playing music rather than trying to play music through the speakers on my laptop. So things like that.
You know, I'm going to have to look at use cases for that.
Speakers on your laptop?
Ben, because it could very well be a good fact-finding engine as well. I just haven't thought of it that way. You're right. Initially, there's a novelty and there's an entertainment factor of playing music and flipping on lights. There are some applications that are just not appropriate for it. Donna heard a commercial today about an adjustable bed. And the lady said, you know, when my husband starts snoring, I can get up and adjust his side so that his head is raised and he stops snoring. And we kind of chuckled to ourselves because we each have a remote on each side and can hit a button to raise the other side. So if I'm snoring, Donna can hit a button and theoretically I stop snoring. And I thought, it's a shame I don't have an integration to the Amazon Echo for that, because in the middle of the night, if Donna was snoring, I could go, "Hey, Alexa, raise Donna's bed." And, you know, I'm sure she'd stop snoring at that point.
Yeah. After which you would then get you'd get a nice big slap on the face.
If your wife is anything like my wife, she never snores.
Yeah. Or farts.
The video's getting ready to go dark in a minute,
it
Chuck.
It was the cat.
The old first fart syndrome.
I think we've reached the end of the show. Good night, everybody.
The end of Chuck's
life.
We're
ensuring that you get a rating on this one.
So that brings us to the end. That's what this big black square on the bottom means. I press that and the music starts.
Yay.
It's a daunting black square. Whoever thought putting a black font on a black background is a good idea?
There you go. Why not?
Thank you, Benny Keith, for stopping by.
It was a joy.
I'm sure we'll be talking to you more on your show.
Yeah. Most likely.
Protracted weekend next weekend.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll see y'all in 6 months.
Tell our listeners where they can find you and your show.
At tggeeks.com. Or you can call our listener line at 469-TGGEEKS. That's 469-844-3357.
Your hand almost seamlessly went from his frame to your frame.
I know. I was just watching that.
No,
that was weird.
Watch the 4-up display on that. Donna, do the 4-up again.
Oh, wow! That was good.
They are sitting next to each other.
Yes, we are.
And I was going to say that, visit tggeeks.com, the land of the two queens.
Yes. Because we are the two gay geeks.
Give me a binary high five.
All right, 101. Bye, everybody.